I'm glad to see some familiar faces and others and have this opportunity to talk some about the work that we've been doing. And before I forget, I do want to express my gratitude for the fellowship you all have had with me over the years. I'm truly grateful for that and for the opportunities that we've had. I'd like to give kind of an overview of work from 2015 and 2016. And talk some about Panama and work that we've done visiting other countries. So, let's see. If I can get the pictures here. Oh, okay. All right. Well, I can talk some then. I've been in Panama since 2008, and where I've been based before that, I was based in Venezuela for 9 years, and in Spain sometime before that. When I went to Panama, first time we visited, we couldn't find a sound church to worship with until we went to a corner of the country close to Costa Rica and found a small church of 5 members there. And so I got in my mind to go to Panama and to eventually start a work in downtown Panama City. And I was able to convince one Panamanian Christian to go with me. They had learned some truths and left the church where they were because of some error that they saw. So they started a couple of works, one in a province called Chiriqui Key, which is close to Costa Rica, and another one in a province called Bocas del Toro. So here we have some pictures. I'd like to mention, first of all, about other countries, and here we see some Christians in Costa Rica. You may know Costa Rica borders Panama, and as Panama, there are very few sound churches in Costa Rica. This one was started not that long ago. Where I've most gone is to San Jose, the capital, where I have a friend, there's a decent-sized church where I visited there. This is the outside of the church in Jaco, which is a church right off the beach, really close to a beach there in the west side of Costa Rica. These are some brethren in a place called Brethren close to Liberia, which is up in the northwest corner of Costa Rica. And they left a church of another doctrine. And what I'd like to mention is Venezuela, where I've done the most work in my life of preaching since I've been a preacher full time. There you see a map. Venezuela is about the size of Texas and Oklahoma combined and has between 28 and 30 million people. And here is eastern Venezuela. As you note on the map, I'd like to concentrate a little bit on eastern Venezuela for a few minutes on Venezuela. This man is Antonio Lira, one of the most experienced men and of the preachers in Venezuela. And in 1989, for example, he stood up and said, "We can't keep doing, or I don't want to keep doing what we've been doing." And so he made a determination, and quite a few decided to leave the system that they were in. And with time, he decided to go back to his roots in eastern Venezuela and started the work there in 2003, and we helped him to start the work in Maturin. That particular day, they invited me to give teaching for an hour or two. And they had just converted quite a few people, or I'd say about at least 8 people, from an evangelical church, and so they were glad about that. That was really through the radio, after extensive preaching on the radio. Here is a place called San Felix, which is also in southeastern Venezuela, and there, I actually lived there. What happened was there was a student who was a Christian who moved out to eastern Venezuela, and he said, "Greg, I'd like for somebody to come and help me start a work because I'm here alone." And so I eventually, pretty soon decided to go over there. And there were just the two of us in the beginning. Every now and then we'd have a visitor. But with time, there were 3 conversions after a few months. And now you see the church as it presently is. This eventually a family was converted after about a year of studying with them. This is the man who preaches there now. His name is Carmelo. There's his family is. He's about around 32. There's the place where they meet. They were not able to keep meeting where they were, but one of the members helped to arrange a place in a front yard, and that's in the front yard to protect them from the heat. As you may know, Venezuela is quite hot, The city where I was, Puerto Das, which is really close to San Felix, was the most modern city in Venezuela. Venezuela has changed so much, it doesn't look the way it used to. But this was the most modern city. And this is another city in the eastern Venezuela, or from another city called El Tigre, the tiger. The man you see to the left, or to the right, was born in Ecuador, but he's been in Venezuela many years, and we helped him to start a work in El Tigre. There's a couple of the members there. This is another place in eastern Venezuela on the coast. There were some people working with a company called Herbalife, and they moved to this city and started the work there. And so some of us preachers over the years have helped them, especially Antonio. So I'd like to say about eastern Venezuela, we just knew of a church meeting in a home. It was the only church we knew about in all of eastern Venezuela. And now we know of at least 5 in eastern Venezuela that are stable. This is a sighting from, you can see this from the balcony of one of the churches. It's the most the prettiest scene of any that any of the churches have from where they meet. This is in the patio, from the patio of some members at this church in western Venezuela. We're now moving to the west. Those are some members there in this church up in the Andes foothills, by the way. Okay, this is in another part of western Venezuela, Cocorote. I wanted to show this slide because 2 of the members there were the oldest Christians that I know about. Oldest in terms of times as Christians, I don't know about age, but they were converted in 1976. And they began to meet in their home, and they still meet in their home, although they've had health problems. They're in their 80s. The young man you see there with the yellow shirt, he dedicates his weekends, his Saturdays, to going out to evangelize. Now, this is in Barquisimeto. It's the largest city, the second largest city in the West. This is right downtown Barquisimeto. The church meets in a hotel event room. And what's happened in Venezuela is become so hard to rent and really hard to own property because of the rights given to the people who rent. So a lot of people end up meeting in hotels, in hotel rooms, charged by the hour. We had some classes for the men, and this was over 2.5 days. Other men were involved in the teaching, and quite a few were present for those classes, maybe about 30 men. And that was in Barquisimeto, in the same hotel room where the church meets. This is another church in the same city of Barquisimeto. It's one of the oldest sound churches that I know about. Since 1989, they've been there. During the week, as is often the case in some places in Latin America, people don't meet as often during the week because of security problems or because of transportation difficulties, since most people don't have a car. But there were probably 10 to 15 there on Sundays, maybe 50 to 60. And this is a preacher had to get his family to put all their stuff in one room. They're meeting, or they live in the house with some family. But the preacher, the nuclear family, all has to be in one room. So some difficulties that come up for the brethren in that way. Now, this is Venezuela, as I mentioned, is quite hot. But you have mountains, and you have one state with desert. And this is a state that has some sand dunes in a city called Coro, C-O-R-O, which also happens to be a city from the 1500s when Venezuela was starting, at least the European settlers. And here you have 2 preachers. The one on the left is Daniel. That's the room I just showed you. And the other man was born in Colombia. But Venezuela years ago had many immigrants, used to have many immigrants. Now many are leaving Venezuela. But the man on the right is also a preacher. This is Maracaibo, the second largest city in Venezuela. And one thing you can note, some of the churches meet out in the yard. This is in the yard of a preacher there in a not well-off region, a part of the city there. But they are building a building right by his house, which is good, decent size. This is another church also in Maracaibo. There's been quite a bit of activity in Maracaibo, and there are a few sound churches there now. In Venezuela, there might be about 30 sound churches that we know about or that receive us. And now this is moving on towards Colombia. We decided to take advantage of the closeness to Colombia to go over there. These are arepas, if you've heard of arepas, some roasted arepas. And this is a church in Colombia in a mining area. there, the people are a little bit more well off than other parts of Colombia. They've done their building, able to do their own building. This is inside. We visited there a couple of days. We were a group of four preachers. This is in northeastern Colombia. This is the classrooms out of bamboo that they made. This is the city. You can see the name of the city, La Jagua de Ibirico. And that's the government, local government. And we were invited to a church that has a different doctrine, but they were willing to receive us and let us preach for them during a couple of days. But one thing I noticed in a couple of places in Colombia, sometimes the men would want to meet with us first and talk about some points of doctrine, some doubts they had, before they would let us preach. There I was preaching that evening. Now, what I just showed you was from 2015, because I haven't been to Venezuela. I go to Venezuela most years. This year I haven't been. And there are some brethren there that have counseled me not to go at this time. This is in Bogota, which is the largest city in Colombia, a huge city, the capital city. I hadn't been to this church before, although I've been to Colombia a few times over the years. This is in northern Bogota. And there happens to be an American there who helps them with the preaching also. This was this year. So these were a couple of young men. I was impressed by one church we visited that had about 100 members and a lot of young people that were active. And these are a couple of the active young people there. And this is in Ecuador. I mentioned a little bit about I was in Ecuador after Colombia. In March, from March 1st to March 30th, I was in Colombia and Ecuador and spent 1 week of that in Ecuador. This was a church out far away from the city, but they had tales to tell about the past. One of the members told us about persecution in the 70s, late 70s, when any group that wasn't Catholic was often persecuted. This is in Ecuador in a city called Ambato, A-M-B-A-T-O, in central Ecuador. And we helped them there with singing also. This is a city, a view of the city itself. And now I'd like to mention some about Panama. There you see a map, a skinny country you can say, long and thin. Panama has about 3.5 to 4 million people, and almost half of those are in the Panama City metropolitan area. The second largest city is around 80,000. There, when you think of Panama, many people think of the canal, which they have just now widened, and two of our members were engineers to help in that widening project, which has taken over 5 years. This is the new part of Panama. Downtown, you see skyscrapers because economically, Panama is one of the best countries in Latin America. And there you see that something rare in Latin America is to see skyscrapers, but there are quite a few there. This is the old part of Panama, Panama Viejo, and it goes back probably to the 1600s or 1500s. And in fact, Panama has the oldest archdiocese in outside of the Caribbean in all of Latin America from 1513. Now, there's a Trump Tower even in Panama. There you see a view of it. This is where we used to meet, and you can see it was getting crowded. We had seating for about 35 to 40. When you got up past 35, it was quite crowded. The owner wanted to raise the rent on us, and it turned out it worked out for better because we found a better place. This was back a year and a half ago, maybe. But just in the last 2 or 3 months, we've moved to this place, which is in the same shopping center, but it's more visible. This was a recent baptism. A man from Colombia who is a boyfriend of one of the members. And this was in April, I believe, in April. And also, this person was in April, the lady in the brown shirt. She is Panamanian. The first man you saw was from Colombia. So something that happens, there are thousands of people in Panama from other countries, and oftentimes they've been willing to study. With the Panamanians, it's been more difficult, but we do have more Panamanian members than we had before. The lady who brought her to Christ, or helped brought her to bring her to Christ, is Nicaraguan, but the lady herself is Panamanian. This was a Nicaraguan. This was the last day I was there, that after one study, she was willing to be baptized. She had been visiting us for some time, but that's probably the second time in Panama that somebody on the first study has been willing to be baptized. Oftentimes, we might study for months with a Panamanian. She was Nicaraguan, and she was willing, so we were thankful for that. This is the same day. This past month, there were 7 baptisms, which is the most we've ever had in 1 month. And it was a group effort. This man here that you see there, he knew a family in Panama who was from Venezuela, and they baptized, all 4 were baptized. I'd like to mention some about them. The lady in the black or the dark top, she was the first one that responded. And as I took her aside after she indicated an interest in being baptized and talked to her about the cost of following Christ, she said she had been looking all her life for a church. She's been in several different religions or several different churches, and she said, "I've really been looking for something," and she felt like she had found it with us. And so that was just after a couple of studies that she made the decision. And that night, it was like 10 o'clock at night, she decided to be baptized. Just a day or two later, another member of her family, I believe it was, or someone else at 11 at night, decided to be baptized. So the attitude that we have is, well, whenever you decide, we're ready. And I have a co-worker there named Javier. But later, the lady in the dark top was the first one, but later the rest of her family followed suit. So that made a big difference. This is a Panamanian brother. He's married to a Nicaraguan. And for a few years, he didn't really study with us much. He wasn't very interested, but he became interested with time. And now he's an active member of the church. He likes to lead singing, and he's even become encouraged to give lessons. And that's something that's become more common. The man you see sitting down there is my co-worker from Venezuela, who's been there about 7 years. And he's one reason I feel comfortable in leaving at times from Panama. There is Crescencio. He's a Panamanian brother. He's been there since 2009. But he's a good man, and he even is the treasurer for us. Here you see all the men in the congregation, basically all the men in the congregation. And I'm thankful that more men are involved in the work now than before. More men can give lessons. And all but 2 of those there are Christians, faithful Christians in the group. And this is outside the place where we are. It's a shopping center. And so it's quite accessible. There's a train close by. The train wasn't there when I first went to Panama, but also it's a central point. Even it's a place where buses come in and out of. It's called the Great Station or the Big Station because buses come in and out, and we're right in front of where buses come in and out. So that's made people come by and see us more frequently. Also, in recent months, we've been going out into the local community and telling them about our move to another place and using that as an opportunity to talk about Bible studies. And that's been over the last couple of months. We've been going out a couple of times a week. So I'm glad for the possibilities in Spanish-speaking work all over the world. You see opportunities, Latin America and Spain, and even in other countries. From what I understand, Spanish is the 3rd most spoken language in the world. And so we're well aware of that here in the United States, where there are even a lot of Spanish speakers here. So I'm grateful for the chances we've had and that the work that started there in Panama with really 2 Christians. At times we had visitors. We knew of 5 or 6 when we went there. That's one reason we started back in 2008. But thankfully, little by little, it's built up, and we're between 25 and 30 members now. Several of those are from other countries, but there are at least 5 or 6 from Panama now. And so I'm glad that it's a more stable work. We didn't know of a faithful work there before. And now there's a group we're also visiting in somewhere else in Panama City. And there's a man who's retired who has a Panamanian wife who is in another part of Panama. So we appreciate the prayers and the support over the years, and moral support and all kinds in the different expressions of support. So I could talk more, but I think more or less that's the time that was allotted to me. And I'll be glad to answer any questions you might have later about Panama or about our work in other places also. So thank you, and I hope all of us can try to find those people who are really looking for the truth.
He has remained unmarried, and that's given him the opportunity to go into so very many different places to be as mobile as he has, and we appreciate very much the opportunity to have fellowship with him in that work. I talked too much a while ago, so let's sing just one stanza. We'll mention the engineers in the back. We can get through just run through the second or third stanza. Let's sing just one stanza now of the song, "Into Our Hands the Gospel Is Given."
Swiftly we're turning, God is with us.